It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our last study of the book of Acts, we saw how that Paul and Barnabas had gone to Lystra. This is Acts chapter 14. And they preached the word of God. And it says in Acts chapter 14, it's when the people of the city were about to sacrifice animals to these two supposed gods. You see, they thought Paul and Barnabas were gods. But before the people could sacrifice, in verses 13 and 14, notice what it says. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard about it, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out. Well, once again, Paul takes this opportunity to preach the word of God, because we read in Acts 14, verses 15 through 18, what happened. Paul went in among the people and he says, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good, and gave us rain from heaven, and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people. In other words, after Paul had said these things, it was hard to restrain the people, and that they had not done sacrifice unto them. In other words, they stopped these people from sacrificing unto them because they let them know that there was a true living God, and they were not gods. And once again now, we understand that we are to take every opportunity that is presented to us to present the Word of God. Whether we're in a good situation or a bad situation, we need to present Jesus Christ as the Savior. Well, after Paul had preached and Barnabas was there with him, after this had taken place, once again, when God is doing a work, the devil is close by. We need to understand this. And he wants to do everything he can to stop people from getting saved. That is, the devil wants to stop people from getting saved. We read in Acts chapter 14 and verse 19, it says, "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead." Well, we see here that Paul's enemies from Antioch and Iconium were not satisfied that Paul had left their cities. These Jews chased after Paul and Barnabas and came all the way to Lystra. They wanted to stop Paul from preaching once and for all. They had Paul stoned, dragged out of the city, and left for dead. Well, not many people are stoned and then live to tell about it. But God strengthened Paul in a wonderful way. And once again, if this were to happen to someone today, that person would probably need at least a month in a hospital to recover. But God worked in Paul's body and strengthened him. Now, understand this. He strengthened him so that he could travel and preach immediately. Paul was stoned and left for dead. Paul rose up and the very next day traveled to Derbe. We see this in Acts chapter 14 and verse 20. It says, "Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up." This is after he was stoned, "and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe." Well, what about Derbe? Derbe is one city where Paul was not greatly persecuted. In all of the other cities, the unbelieving Jews had persecuted God's missionaries and even tried to kill them. Now, when we read what Paul says about other Jews who tried to persecute believers, we read that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. The Jewish people were very hostile to the preaching of the gospel. Now, notice this. Paul and Barnabas had been on this journey representing our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But now it was time to do a little backtracking. The return trip we see here. We see that after preaching and teaching in Derbe, Paul returned again to Lystra, where he was stoned. to Iconium, where he was almost stoned, and then to Antioch, where he was expelled from the city. And now in verse 21 of Acts chapter 14, it says, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city," and that's Derbe, "and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch." Well, why did Paul and Barnabas return to the cities mentioned in Acts chapter 14 and verse 21? Well, verse 22 and 23 tells us why. "Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed." Well, why did Paul and Barnabas return to the cities? I believe, first of all, according to verse 22 of Acts 14, it was to exhort the believers, to encourage them, and also to ordain elders, according to verse 23 of Acts chapter 14. There's nothing left to chance with God. Nothing was being left to chance with the new converts. The new converts, the new disciples of these cities needed to be trained, and they needed to have leaders there who could train them. And Paul and Barnabas went back to these cities to encourage and to appoint elders to take care of these people. Now, Paul and Barnabas were concerned about the believers who were in these cities, and they wanted to encourage the disciples and to make sure that each church had men who could lead and teach the believers. See, the same God who helped Paul and Barnabas and protected them in a wonderful way was the same God who could take care of these new believers. Well, notice now, they went back to Antioch. In verse 24 of Acts 14, it says, "And after they had passed throughout Pisidia and came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled." Notice they didn't quit, they kept going, and they fulfilled the work that God had given them. Well, when they got back to Antioch, what happened? Acts chapter 14 and verse 27. Remember, this is the church they started out from. "And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles." See, finally, this missionary team returned back to Antioch. This is the church from where they had been sent forth and where they had been sent out of. Paul and Barnabas gave a wonderful report of the great things God had done, and especially how God had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Acts chapter 14 and verse 27, as we've read. Now, as we leave this section of Scripture in Acts chapter 14, they were in Antioch. And verse 28 says, "And there," and that's Antioch, "they abode long time with the disciples." This is Paul and Barnabas. They stayed there a long time with the disciples. Well, the first missionary journey that we've just gone through with Paul and Barnabas, they were carrying out the Lord's command. In Matthew chapter 28 and verses 19 and 20, it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." You and I today, we need to take heart, because we're not representing ourselves when we go out and tell people about Jesus Christ. We're representing him. We're representing our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches us that we have nothing to fear, that Jesus Christ is our Savior. And let's be realistic. If something would happen and we would leave this world, either by someone's hand or whether the breath of life leaves this body and leaves our body, no matter what happens, we're still in the hand of God. We're still going to see better because we will be with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, now as we look on, as we move into the next chapter, chapter 15, the Apostle Paul, we need to remind ourselves, wrote many of the New Testament books. This included Philippians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians and Ephesians and Hebrews and so forth. And these letters were written to churches that were located in, once again, let me mention the church of Philippians and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians and Ephesians especially. These letters were written to the churches that were located in these four cities, Philippi, Thessalonica, Corinth, and Ephesus. And there was a time when each of these cities had no church. There was none there. Well, how did these churches begin? How did the people living in these cities first hear the good news of salvation? Well, as we follow Paul on his second missionary journey, Acts chapter 15, and it goes all the way through chapter 18, as we follow him, we learn that God used Paul in a wonderful way in starting churches in these important cities. In chapter 15, there's various things that take place. In verse 1, we read of a dissension that arose about salvation and circumcision. Acts chapter 15, verse 1 says, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." Well, we go on and read, and we fast forward here to verse 4 about Paul and Barnabas, and it says, "When they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them." We need to follow this and understand that the Jews who came against Paul and Barnabas here said that people had to be circumcised in order to be saved. Well, there's a dissension going on here. People were not schooled, shall I say, in the things of God at this point, is what God is doing. Then God is doing this with Paul and Barnabas. And we see in Acts chapter 15 in verse 7 where Peter speaks. And verse 7 says, "And when there had been much disputing," remember now they were back and forth, these people did not believe what Paul and Barnabas were saying about how to be saved, and there's only one name to be saved by, and that's Jesus Christ. "But when there had been much disputing," according to verse 7 of 15, "Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made a choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe." And then in verse 11 of Acts 15, it says, "But we believe that through the grace of God," or through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, "we shall be saved even as they." Well, then Paul and Barnabas speak in verse 12 of Acts 15. It says, "Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them." Well, then another person speaks, and this would be James. In Acts chapter 15, we read in verse 13, and it says, "And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me." Verse 19, "Wherefore my sentence is this." Now, James is the one in charge of this church, and he would be the pastor of the church there. And he said, "This is my sentence, this is what I'm saying now, that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God." In other words, leave them alone because they have been saved just like you and I. And this is something that you and I need to understand, that there's people who disagree with many times of what we say as saved people, and we disagree with them, they disagree with us. If they've trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, leave them alone. We try to teach and preach and help people to know the Word of God and let God lead them. Do not be a dissenter. Let God take care of the situations that we find ourselves in, and let Him receive all the honor and glory for the things that take place in our lives and the lives of those other individuals who are saved and on their way to heaven.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.